Isn't it great sometimes to just put everything aside and get into God's presence and be one with the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ? Everything of this world falls away when you take your eyes off everything else that's going on around you, and all you focus on is God and God's power and God's love. Wow, you feel better, don't you? When you put your eyes on Jesus, as the song says, all the things of this world just drift away. That's my version of that song. But needless to say, watch what you say, though, right? We always have to watch what we say. Correct? Right. So I came up with an acronym for that because I think it's so important. Some of us may or may not realize how powerful our words are. And not only our words, but the words that we hear from other people that sometimes can very well define us. What we've been told really from the first 7 years of our life, as we just take in information, it goes into what we know as the subconscious mind below the surface. It just goes right in there. And that often forms our personality as well as our beliefs, our decisions, and or what we believe about the world and people around us. But most importantly, what also we might believe about ourselves and or God. So what we say to ourselves or what others say to us can sometimes define us, can't it? Yes, right? How very often do many of us say, I can't? I can't do this. I can't do that. As we heard in the great sermon last week, I'm not supposed to. I'm not supposed to be able to breathe underwater. And I really understood that analogy because I'm not a person that can snorkel either. So Pastor Tasha's brother's not the only other person that looks in water and says, I'm supposed to hold my breath. I'm not supposed to breathe through this tube that's coming into my mouth. And I have a freak out moment and I just kind of don't even bother trying to mess with it because I tell myself I can't. I can't do it. So as a result, I don't do it. And there's some can'ts that it's okay to say I can't do that and I don't do that. And we say, oh, well, I guess I'll never do that. And maybe it matters, maybe it doesn't. But there are a lot of other can'ts that we sometimes ascribe to that maybe, just maybe, we're missing out on some parts of life, aren't we? Like I can't forgive, for example. When you can't forgive, what's that doing to you? It imprisons you, right? It causes you to have broken relationships. It causes you to have anxieties. It causes you to have ill will and bad feelings inside. And it causes you to stay stuck in where? The past. Do you know that there's a future you? Did you know that? I'm telling you that this morning. In case you didn't know it, there's a future you. The Bible says so in Jeremiah 29, right? It says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans of a future. See what? A future, right? To prosper you, to bless you, not to harm you. That's how God sees us, right? So that's a declaration from God. See how important those words are to believe, right? And our past you is not necessarily our future you. Isn't that good news this morning? Yeah, baby. I'll tell you this right now. The past me would not be a pastor. I'll tell you that much. That I can tell you. That I can tell you. But because of the words that God says about us and who God claims us to be and tells us we can be, not what we can't be, not once does God ever tell people what they can't become. If anything, when he called Moses, he said, you're going to lead my people, right? And what did Moses say? I can't. God said, you can. Moses said, I can't. God said, you can. And back and forth they went. And who won? God, isn't that cool to know? God wins. So even though you want to hold on to your can'ts, God's going to help you can, because God can, right? And you can because God empowers you to do so. Now, we can argue for our limitations if we want to, and if you're one of those people that likes to hang on to what you were told when you were little. When I was a child, I had a speech impediment. I lisped. When I taught, I couldn't talk very sweetly or very kindly or anything like that. And I said my yeses like this. And consequently, my teacher told me, you can never talk. But God said, yes, you can. See, here's the thing. One teacher in kindergarten told me, you're never going to be able to talk correctly. Just get used to it. There was another kindergarten teacher, and teachers are so important. For those of you that teach, and many of you teach in all kinds of areas, not just in a classroom. We're all teaching people, aren't we? What you teach, people take in and believe if you're not careful. But I had a wonderful kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Rodriguez, who said to me, I'll teach you how to talk. She believed that people could change. You see the difference? Now, what if I only believed the one teacher who said, you're never going to talk right? And that's all I took in and believed it to be true. I wouldn't be here today. And you'd have a lot shorter sermon. True. However, what we've been told doesn't necessarily mean it's true for us, does it? Unless you accept it as truth. Now, which person did I believe? The teacher that said, you can. And I learned, and I struggled, and I learned how to speak. And I've been doing it ever since. And God, through the Holy Spirit, brings words through the power of His love, and through His wisdom, godly wisdom, gives me the ability to speak in greater ways. But we have to watch what we say, because what you say has power. What you say has power. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 19, it says, verse 20, words satisfy the soul as food satisfies the stomach. The right words on a person's lips bring satisfaction. The right words on your lips bring satisfaction, not only to yourself, but to others as well, right? The right words. The next verse. Those who love to talk will experience the consequences. For the tongue can kill or nourish life. In another translation, it says that words can either poison or bring fruit. Interesting. So our words, what we say to ourselves or to other people, and how we verbalize things about our circumstances, about who we are, and what we can and cannot do, they can bring life, nourish people, right? Great words, good words, empowering words can bring life. And other words can bring what? People down, right? The death of dreams, the death of ideas, the death of doing something you always dreamed of doing. The death of changing and growing, right? Words have power. So my acronym this morning is, words affect things created here. Watch what you say. Words affect things created here. Because what you believe to be true and how you say what's going to happen in your life very often affects what? What you'll do. So you have to watch what you say. When we define ourselves with any kind of way, shape, or form of a label of any kind, you know, I'm whatever. It can be something positive or something negative. How we see somebody else by the words we speak about them can be positive or negative, right? And our words create emotions, and emotions then create actions. So what you say out loud to yourself or to others matters, in case you didn't know. And you know that, right? Has anybody in the room ever called yourself other than something wonderful? Why is the whole group, yay, that's me, I say that. Yeah, I just called myself an idiot about 2 minutes ago. That There was a study at MIT. I love studies. My background is in psychology. I learned neuro-linguistic programming. And linguistics means the words we use program us for actions and or change. So words have power. And an MIT study said this, that if someone tells you you can't, it takes 17 times. How many? 17 times for you to neutralize that. So if you say, I can't sing, as an example, it's going to take 17 times for us to tell you, you can, or for you to tell yourself you can. You see why we need repetition? Why it is this. Because when we were formed in the first 7 years and we started defining ourselves, or other people defined us, what we can do, what we can't do, it's going to take 17 times consciously for you to get down deep inside to the part of you that says you can't. So you're essentially in tug of war all the time. So if you say something negative to yourself this morning, or you already have, how many times do you have to say something positive? Just to neutralize it. Just to neutralize it. What if you want to change how you feel about yourself or others? 5,722,400,000,000. Here's the problem with most of us. Most of us don't even know what we're saying. It's automatic. Right? Most of you that drove to church this morning, you probably weren't thinking about how to get here unless it was the very first time you had to drive here to pay attention to the road, right? Did your car not bring you here automatically? Right? And I'm not talking about just GPS and autonomous driving. It's you're on autopilot, right? You've been here so many times. In fact, there's times I drive down 49th Street, I'm heading somewhere else, and I take a right on 62nd, and before I know it, I'm at the church. And I go, oh, wait. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm going to be late for my appointment down in St. Pete. True story. We want to call that ADD, but it really isn't. It's called autopilot. Underneath us, where our mind, our subconscious mind, is telling us where to go and what to do all the time. And unless you take control and become the pilot of that, which is why we surrender to God, because God is above both of those minds that we have, the conscious or the subconscious. We call it the superconscious, above consciousness. God can step in and speak to you, or nudge you and say, well, where are you going? You're heading the other direction. See how we can sometimes find our way to the other direction. What I'm trying to get at this morning is your words direct where you're going and what you're doing. It's more important for you to consciously know what you're thinking and saying to yourself or about yourself. In order to change and grow, which we are the church of spiritual enrichment and growth, in order for us to grow, we have to stop defining ourselves as what we think we are. And only that. Right? We know what we believe here as a church. We know that Jesus is the cornerstone. We know that all people are welcome here, right? We know that God loves everybody, right? And we know that all of you have a piece of the inside our puzzle to serve God and help people change and grow for the better. And we know that you can have a prosperous, blessed, awesome life. And while your little other person under the surface, that your little girl or boy, is saying, what's she talking about? No, you can't. It's too hard. I've tried before. This is as good as it gets. Do you anybody hear those words sometimes? Never? And all the great philosophers and those that are out there that say, if you think you can, you think you can't, you're right. We all know those awesome sayings, right? But when are you going to put those to proper use to be empowered to change your life for the better? To go after the things that you've always wanted to go after and let go of what somebody else told you you could or couldn't do or could or couldn't be. What I love about Jesus most, and there's a lot of reasons, But what I love about him the most is he was a rebel. When they tried to define him and tell him who he was supposed to be, and when they kind of came in his face and said, what are you doing healing people on the Sabbath? He was like, I'm the Son of God. I'm going to heal them anyway. Right? Did he care what the Pharisees said? No. Did he care what when Peter said to him, oh, Lord, don't go to the cross? No, don't say it's not so. Jesus said, get away from me. Peter, you're a stumbling block. Get out of my way. I can and I will, right? The man was defiant. He would not let humanity define who he was because he knew who he was. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the resurrection, right? And what did he do? He resurrected! Now, if Jesus is an I am, what are we? I ams. Right? You ever hear the apple doesn't fall far from the tree? Yeah, right. Now, I am part of my Father, my earthly Father, but I'm more a part of my heavenly Father, right? When I know and believe and understand that. And when I speak words that are in alignment with that, what I'm talking about today is you aligning with this, with the God of the universe and saying what you are and who you are in Christ. Who are you? I'm a child of God. And does anybody else on the outside try to stop you from being that? Oh, yeah, what do we say? I'm still a child of God. You can call me what you want to. I am a child of God. I can do greater things than even Jesus Christ did because I'm not the Son of God who came from heaven. I'm a child of God, but I've been given the same gifts and talents through the Holy Spirit that Jesus had. What Peter could do, remember Peter? You know Peter. The man walked on water. Like it or not, I don't care if it was 2 seconds. He walked on water. But what did he say? I'm not supposed to. I can't. Right? What am I doing? I'm walking on water. This is impossible. I'm not supposed to. What I love about that story is when Peter said, if it's you, Lord, tell me to come walk on the water. Tell me. Words. Tell me. And Jesus said, come on, come on. You can do it, Peter. Come on. Jump out of the boat. Come on. And Peter did. Peter needed to be saying what to himself? Because he didn't say it 17 times, obviously. I can walk on water. 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 Look, I'm walking on water. I can walk on water. And what would have happened? He would have kept walking on water. Sometimes what we see outside or what we hear inside our own heads, we have to ignore it, don't we? See, we need to be more ignorant. I mean, no. We need to... Well, ignorance is bliss, I do say. In the Bible, it says in Isaiah, does the clay say to the potter, why did you make me this way? No. Who's in charge? The potter. Can we stop asking God to wonder why God made us this way? God made us this way, right? Who we are is who we are, and I am a child of God. So I'm a pretty good pot, right? If you want to change your life, you have to change your words. You have to, in neurolinguistics, I'll give you this example. In neurolinguistics, there are certain words that can help or hurt what we're doing. For example, the word but. How many of you like to hear the word but? Especially when somebody says, oh, you look good in that outfit, but... It's a little big for you. I like your haircut, But you look better when it was. Do you hear what the word but does? The cool part about the word but is, depending on where it is in the sentence, you negate what was said before. That's just how the mind works. It's a cool thing about the mind and neurolinguistics. So if I say you're an idiot, but I love you, which part do you remember? See, you could say something negative to somebody and turn it around to a positive. But I don't suggest it. You could say something like, I used to have a problem with whatever. But now, you see? Because there's a future you. Remember that part I was trying to teach you that? You have a future you. Who is your future you? Whoever God wants you to be and whoever you say you are. Although what God says you are is what? What you really are. What does God say you are? A child wonderfully and beautifully made. Right? I'm wonderfully, beautifully made. Does that not make you feel better? So I want you to eliminate the word but from your life. But I can't. Or you want to put it in the right place in a sentence. They told me I could never talk, but I can. You see where it fits in a different way. It's always good if you want to give someone feedback. I'll give you this little tip. Replace the word but with the word and. I like your haircut. And it looks really good on you. Changes the whole thing, doesn't it? Or even if you want to give feedback that says, thank you for making your bed, Billy. And I'd like for you to take out the trash too. Or, and make sure next time you get the corners in so right. See how you can give feedback and not have offense to someone else? Little words mean a big difference, don't they? They certainly do. Any negative statements that you make about yourself, you have to begin to become aware of them. Does anybody in here have any pain? We all do. So, if I want to be pain-free, there's such a thing that's actually called phonological language. Wow, that's a big word. It has to do with how we speak to our body. There have been studies that show that, psychologically speaking, there have actually been people that have been operated on without anesthesia because there was a neurologist there who knew neuroscience, who told the person that they were going to just go to sleep and be at rest and all would be well. And under some sedation of speaking to themselves, they went to a place and they felt at rest because they went there in their mind's eye. It's pretty scary, isn't it? How many want to try that one? No. Okay. I can't. And the congregation yells, give me drugs, give me drugs. No. Put me out. It did work scientifically numerous times under the right circumstances and under the right verbiages. But that just shows you the power of the mind. Just like when Peter was able to walk on water and nobody else did, for a split second or however long it took, he was able to defy gravity, wasn't he? Wasn't he? Have you ever accomplished something you thought you couldn't do? How did you accomplish it? By doing it. You believed more that you could than less that you couldn't, right? Right? If you want to be pain-free, start telling yourself, I'm pain-free, I'm pain-free, All of every cell in my body operates properly because God is running through my veins. That's what we know as prayer, isn't it? Right? When we start saying powerful words, now, is your pain going to go away? All I know is I forgot my microphone a few minutes ago because I was in the spirit with God. I didn't see or hear anything or anybody. What happened there? Do you see how we can drift into the spiritual realm and be in a place physically but not be there mentally and emotionally and otherwise? Do you see the power of what the Spirit of God can do? Yes? All right. So, our words have power. So we're going to eliminate the word not. Are you good with that? So you're going to get rid of your butt. Or put your butt in the right place of a sentence. And take away the word not. Speak more about what you want, who you are, what you want to become. You can create your future, I promise you, by the words that you say. You have to watch what you're saying and know what you're saying and consciously tell yourself what you want to say. You're following me there? And you have to do it how many times? 972 million zillion. And for every one negative you say, you have to do it at least 17. So considering the fact you have, I guess they say 4 fingers and 2 thumbs, but I say 10 fingers and 10 toes, that's 20, right? So today, later, when you hear yourself say, I can't, you have to say, pick your fingers and your toes and count 20 times and say that you can. Because your words affect things created here. What you believe you can do by what you say. And we are creatures of habit. So the words that you speak becomes habits you become, and before you know it, you're your future self. Right? It is cool. Your words can be poison, and other people's words can be poison to us, but there are antidotes. Jesus Christ, God Himself. If you find yourself saying what you can't do, well, I can't lie. That'd be okay. I can't steal. That'd be okay. I can't forgive. That's not okay. But see, you're hearing it, aren't you now? And if you can hear my words of a person that was told they could never talk, what does that mean for you? Because it doesn't matter what I can do. What matters is what you tell yourself you can do. And you can no longer define yourself by the limitations that you someone else put upon you. We as a church cannot ever be defined by the limitations other people want to say we are or are not. We are children of God, empowered to do awesome, transformational, miraculous things. And we believe we can. Because we have a God who is a God who can and will. You believe that this morning, church? Just watch what you say. I'll be listening. And so will God. But most importantly, you start listening too. Claim things that you want to have happen in your life. And get off your butts and get into your ands and your cans. Amen? Amen.